I'm glad you're with us. And we're going to be talking about us and health and healing in just a moment. And, of course, whenever we do that on the program, I'm always talking about that with all aspects, the physical, the mental, the emotional, and even the spiritual. We're going to be doing that today with Nathan Whiteside. He is a Reiki master, a life coach, a Qigong instructor, and vortex healing practitioner. And, of course, that's the one that we're going to be especially talking about. Haven't had a vortex healing practitioner on the program yet. In all these 18 years, imagine. Nathan is here today to talk about the benefits of this modality, vortex healing, as both a powerful healing modality and as a, interestingly enough, direct path to awakening. You know, whenever we're talking about health, we're also talking about clearing, because our bodies are capable of healing themselves and staying healthy. It's just that we need to sometimes clear out the gunk. Nathan, it's really good to have you here on the program for the first time. Welcome to Seeing Beyond.
Thank you very much.
Well, give us a little bit of your story. I think this story is such an inspirer. People out there listening are going to hear aspects of you and what's mm-hmm. gone on with you and relate to themselves and go, boy, you know, if he did it, I could do it. That's similar to what I'm going through right now. How did you get into this kind of work? Let us know who you are.
Okay. Well, it's a bit of a long, circuitous path. I started out as an atheist in an atheist household and kind of laughed at anything spiritual or religious. And at a certain point in college, I got interested in philosophy and in Taoism, and that seemed to be very compatible with my scientific outlook. And yet they were also very clearly getting some kind of spiritual nourishment from their beliefs, which were so similar to mine, I couldn't really find an important difference. And yet there was this spiritual nourishment. There was this sense of livingness that they had that I clearly didn't have as such a strict material atheist. So sort of, you know, it was cracking the door, started to peek through that crack in the door into the other side, and became interested in various forms of spirituality. I eventually decided that I really wanted to learn Qigong as a part of that Taoist practice. So moved to the Bay Area after having lived in Africa for a couple of years, and started to learn Qigong, eventually discovered Reiki, was very skeptical of Reiki, just as I had been of Taoism and everything else, but I had a personal experience of it, and I could feel it, and it was real. I sort of threw my own skepticism, my own, you know, mental constructs out the door and said, okay, if it works, then I need to be the one to adjust here. And so then I became a Reiki master. And I developed a very, very small, short-lived practice as a Reiki master. I found that I could connect with and feel and see the issues that people were holding in their physical tissue. You know, the Reiki, as it was channeling, it sort of gave me a connection, an ability to sense on that level, which was very exciting for me. But after not too long, I discovered I just couldn't get to what I could see. I could see that there was something there. I could see that there was suffering there. And I, you know, wanted to work with it and move it and clear it out for the person. But with the tools that I had at the time, I couldn't release as deeply as I could perceive. So I just sort of put that to the side and wasn't particularly pursuing anything in particular. But then this vortex healing thing came, you know, sort of landed in my lap. A friend of mine took the basic class, and she was very, very excited about it. Again, my skeptic radar went up because it sounded very new age, very, you know, just another one of those things that's constantly popping up, and sounded a bit too good to be true. So, you know, with a fair amount of skepticism, I did a trade with her because she was so excited and I respected her and I, you know, wanted to give it a shot. And it just completely blew me out of the water. I couldn't feel the energy itself. It was so subtle that even with all of my years of training with Qigong and Reiki, I couldn't feel the energy of, you know, this vortex energy. But I could feel the effect that it was having not only on my body, but on my emotions. It was so, it was almost like an exorcism. Like my whole body was reacting. I was having all sorts of muscle twitches and my back was arching and, you know, coughing and, you know, the whole big, you know, dramatic, spectacular release was going on. And, at the end of it, I looked up at her and just started laughing. I was giggling uncontrollably for about 10 or 15 minutes. There was just such a sense of relief, just such a sense of, oh my God, that burden that had become so normal that I didn't even know that it was a burden was gone. And that sort of, that got my attention. And as I explored further, I realized that there was a piece that had changed permanently. You know, there was a sense of, you know, something having moved and relief. But you know, the kind of bliss that comes from relief is temporary, you know, eventually sort of assimilated. It becomes normal again. And you go back to kind of where you were before. But there was a permanent sense where, I'd had this issue of incessant self-doubt where I would constantly look for reasons to doubt myself. And that was gone, and it never came back. It was just this permanent shift in my awareness, in my issue base. Of all the issues that I, you know, was carrying around with me, that one had somehow shifted. So it got my attention, and I was very interested in it. I decided I wanted to take that basic class that she had taken so I could do for myself what she had done for me, and didn't have any money at the time. But I was very determined, so I sent an email out to everybody that I know, asking for a sponsorship, $50. And, you know, this is something that I'm, you know, feeling very strongly about. And in exchange, when I get back, we can do some healing, you know, offer 3 free healing sessions in exchange for a sponsorship. And I wound up getting exactly the tuition, frequent flyer miles for a plane ticket and a place to stay.
You must have really wanted to learn this.
I really, really did.
I mean, they say the greatest fear is getting up and speaking in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the greatest reservations is asking for what we truly want, especially when it's a monetary gift. Like, do you think you could sponsor? I mean, you know, maybe to say, well, I'm going to run a marathon and I'm going to do all this training, but it's all for AIDS. It's not going for me. But to ask for money, I mean, that really took
all my
something.
Stuff came up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was not easy.
Well, it just shows me, and I knew when I asked you this and asked you to tell your story that there would be something in it for all of the listeners out there, for myself, but for especially somebody out there in particular, and you know who that is. I don't know who that is, but you know who that is. So this wanting something so badly that a modern-day Western-born male would ask for a favor, ask not just of one person but several people.
Of
you
everybody
really
that I knew.
Want it bad.
Oh, yeah. And I wound up getting phone calls from people I'd never met before. People forwarded my request onto their email list and their friends. And so 2 or 3 people that I'd never met before in my life just called me up out of the blue and said, hey, you know, I got this email and I totally think it's a great thing and I want to support you. I've gotten support from other people. And I was just blown away. I was completely humbled by just the generosity of both friends and strangers. And it's one of those things where, you know, you just sort of feel it in your gut that it's right somehow, you know, and so then you just have to move mountains.
We're going to be, of course, talking about the vortex healing and what it is, but I really wanted to get to know you, Nathan, at your first visit to Seeing Beyond, and wanted my listeners to get to know you. Let's just start off by saying this, then we're going to take a break and we'll come back and go really into the depths of vortex healing, no pun intended. How is vortex healing different from Reiki? Because most of our listeners, I think, have either had a Reiki treatment or have at least heard of it if they haven't even taken some of the training themselves. How's vortex healing different from Reiki?
Well, let me start by saying how it's similar. And then we can go into the differences. It's similar in the sense that it's something that's learned not as a mental process of, you know, here you do these exercises and eventually, you know, it's a process of attunement. And, you know, that's the term that they use in Reiki.
Right.
In Vortex, they call it a process of direct transmission of consciousness. This is all coming as a transmission from the divine. And that transmission or that attunement is what gives you the basic ability to do the modality. So that's the first similarity. And the second similarity is in that it's just a form of channeled energy. You know, it's a way in which your system, becomes a channel for energy that's not directly yours, you know, and that's part of what makes Reiki, something that you can do so much without getting caught up in other people's energy. It's not your energy that you're using to heal somebody. So there's a lot of protection, in the process of doing Reiki on others. And it's the same thing with Vortex. It's not your energy. You're just being a channel for a healing energy that's coming through your system. Where it's different is that there's actually only a few people on the planet who can teach vortex healing, whereas Reiki is something that anybody can learn to teach. And so there's pluses and minuses on both sides. You know, the fact that so few people can teach vortex healing means that it's, you know, it's never going to be as big as Reiki. Reiki is, something that anybody can learn, and it's beautiful in that way. You know, it's just spreading like wildfire, and so everybody can get access to this Reiki energy and be a teacher and pass it on. So it becomes very ubiquitous, and of course we need as much of that healing energy as possible. But then the limitation is that it needs to be something that anybody can teach, that anybody's energy system could assimilate and then be able to pass on to other people. Vortex healing, in, you know, divine intelligence is created in such a way that you need to have a very, very powerful energetic system in order to even be able to hold a teacher transmission, much less pass those transmissions on to other people. So that's the first big difference. The second big difference is in terms of the actual energy that's being transmitted. Reiki is a form of chi. It's a sort of a living energy. It's very nourishing. It's something designed to just give your body the juice it needs to do its own self-healing, because the body's very intelligent. It knows what it needs. It knows how to heal itself. You bring in Reiki energy, and it gives it sort of the raw material it needs to do its own job. It's also got a spiritual aspect to it that sort of is very nourishing and sort of inspires a person to connect with God, to connect with spirit. Very beautiful in that way. Vortex healing, though, is not a form of chi. It's a divine energy. It's beyond duality. It's not something designed to directly, you know, just sort of feed the body and then let the body do its own thing. It's actually working with divine intelligence to go into consciousness, not just into physical tissue, but into consciousness.
See, I told you all you would be intrigued by this. This is exactly what you Seeing Beyond listeners love. You eat it up. The metaphysical, the spiritual, the God energy. We'll come back and talk more about that. It's called Vortex Healing, and we've got more, I promise you, as we continue to See Beyond. Well, here you are. You were raised an atheist I assume both of your parents were atheist.
My father was an atheist. My mother sort of stayed out of it.
Okay. All right. Duck and cover, right?
Yep.
Okay. So that's how you were raised. And now here you are actually doing a healing modality that is channeling the energy of the divine. That's quite a leap, isn't it?
It's a long, slow leap, yes.
A long, slow leap. You know, I've got to just say something, though, because I'm fascinated by this. I can't even remember how I early on got the sense that I wasn't here alone, that I had invisible friends, that I can remember walking to and from school and talking to who I called Jesus, but anyway, is something other than myself. Did you have those kinds of experiences, or since you were an atheist, did you feel like, you know, you were kind of like it, and if you were talking to yourself, it really was to yourself.
It was to my brain cells.
To your brain cells.
Right, yeah. Brain cells talking to brain cells.
My mother would say, well, I hope you like the advice you were getting.
Right. Well, eventually I did. No, you know, I had an imaginary friend. It was more of the thing, like, everybody else had an imaginary friend, so I sort of felt like, I should have an imaginary friend. But I didn't really believe in him. You know, it was a different childhood in that way. But the thing that really sort of, I guess, I carried with me from atheism into spirituality is I just had the basic belief that whatever is what is true. And I am that. You know, I'm part of what is. Everything is part of what is. And so we are all that which is true. And so somehow there has to be a way to access and know what it is that you are. It just seems strange to me that there would be all these, you know, I was becoming aware of, you know, subconscious motivations and ways that I was sort of sabotaging myself or creating suffering in my life. And as you become aware of that, you're like, well, where is that coming from? Like, why would I do that to myself? There's things going on that are actual and real, and I'm not aware of them, and yet it's what I am. And so there should be a way to become aware of it. There should be a way to know exactly what I am. And that is what carried through into spirituality and into the search for awakening, because that's what awakening is about, is coming to sort of strip away what you're not and to then just recognize and know exactly what you are.
beautifully put, Nathan. You know, I needed to cut you off because we had to go to traffic and our commercial sponsorship, mm-hmm. but I'm fascinated by the energy of the vortex healing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk more about that and how it's, again, different from Reiki.
Well, it's there's actually no one energy to vortex healing. It's it started out that way. It was just this white, sparkly, spinning light that you could access through the vortex. The vortex is something that's, as I said, given in transmission. It sits in your heart chakra. And just by intention, you access it and channel it either into yourself or into somebody else. And it's just this white, sparkly light that spins. And that's what gives it the power to basically transform karmic consciousness, or the consciousness of being separate from what you really are, and transforming it back into divinity. And that is what really gives vortex healing the power that it has, is that it transforms consciousness from that which is stuck in illusion, the illusion of the separate self, back into divinity, back into the wholeness of what you really are. And not only with the light of vortex healing, but also, then you have access to this realm of divine consciousness called Mu'uma that, was assembled by seven divine beings, and you are then able to channel their consciousness into, again, where you feel separate, where there's this perception of being an individual, cut off, alienated, alone being, and that consciousness comes in and it transforms separation into wholeness.
So we've got two aspects here. We've got the healing light energy,
right,
this vortex energy, and then we've got a council, so to speak, or a group of energies of enlightened higher beings who mm-hmm. are being channeled through to certain people. Is that
exactly.
what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And these teachings then can not only be learned, but also the energy of it passed on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, as you were talking about the Reiki and the vortex healing energies, I got a certain picture or kind of a metaphor for it, and mm-hmm. I want to see if I'm at all right in this,
okay,
because
sure.
I have no idea. But it seemed to me like the Reiki energy is more, it's broader, a broader spectrum, more diffuse, gentler perhaps, and that the vortex healing energy is more condensed, quicker. I mean, I get almost mm-hmm. the picture of like a moving laser beam.
A laser, that's exactly the...
A laser scrubber.
Right. Well, you know, when I first learned Reiki, I like to use the analogy that, you know, if something like aura smoothing is like a 60-watt light bulb, then Reiki is like a heat lamp. You know, it's just a, you know, whole other order of healing energy.
Right.
And then taking that analogy further, I would say that vortex healing is then like an industrial laser. It's going right through to the very core of where we feel separate. And it's exceedingly good at that. The focus in the beginning is in releasing something called, karma knots. And these are points of consciousness that sit in the spine. They're just like this intense, intense separation, just very like pure separation consciousness. And each one is a cause of a karmic issue. It's this source of suffering, and so we sort of do everything we can to work around that and try and cope with that sense of suffering that we carry around with us. And so we have all these
escape it too.
Exactly. You know, that's how we cope with it is usually by avoidance, or attachment, or, you know, chaotic relationships, codependence, addictions, you know, all these things come out of the desire not to feel this suffering, and not knowing how to deal with it in a way that is actually effective and permanent. So the, you know, dollar for dollar, pound for pound, the most, amazing thing about vortex healing is in how quickly and efficiently it can release these karma knots. And then once it's gone forever. It doesn't grow back. That is the root cause of the suffering in human consciousness.
I think it is so fascinating that so many people mm-hmm. are suffering from back problems,
mm-hmm. yep.
even to the point of going in for back surgery. Let's come back and talk about these karmic knots, what mm-hmm. causes them, how do we get them, and how is it that vortex healing can, dare I say, dissolve them, and mm-hmm. According to our guest, Nathan Whiteside, once and for all. In other words, permanently. We're back. back. I'm Bonnie Colleen. We're here with Nathan Whiteside. He is a Reiki master, a life coach, Qigong instructor, and what we're talking about today, especially a vortex healing practitioner. So we're going to be talking about these karmic knots. Mm-hmm. I find that it's fascinating that they reside in the back. We're going to go into more detail about that. And speaking of the back, of course, the Kundalini energy is at mm-hmm. the base of the spine. You've got a Kundalini clearing and healing intensive coming up. What's that about?
Well, it started out as just focusing on the Kundalini. The Kundalini channel is a natural part of the human system, and it gets very gummed up over time. Lots of blockages, a lot of tension. It kind of shrinks in on itself just due to all that karmic tension. And with vortex healing, we have a very effective way of clearing out those blockages. It's a very dense energy that comes in and can clear it out in a few hours. And then what that does is it allows the Kundalini energy to rise very naturally. There's much more of it because there's less blocking the way. And so it's very good for health, for physical health, for overall well-being. It feeds the chakras feed the organs. All that just happens very naturally when the Kundalini is clear. And as I've advanced in my trainings, I've been able to get that clearing to happen more quickly. And so then I've been incorporating healing as well on the spiritual level, on the karmic level. We clear through a lot of karmic knots, through a lot of issues. We do a lot of chakra balancing, changing the way that the human system works for you, upgrading it, bringing in more divine light and creating these permanent shifts so that your body and your consciousness just works at a much higher level. By the end of it, most people are toasted a bit in a good way and ready, and just very happy with what they've experienced. And then they leave and they integrate, and it's just a completely different way of being after your Kundalini is clear and all these karmic issues have been cleared.
Talk about preventative medicine.
Absolutely.
Well, this is the Kundalini Clearing and Healing Intensive, and it's going to be taking place in El Cerrito April 21st and April 22nd. So you heard me say that they're going to have a group healing on April 22nd. Well, that is in the afternoon. So this will be the Kundalini Clearing and Healing Intensive. It's a day and a half long, so it'll be April 21st all day and half a day on April 22nd, just $250 for all of that. And you can call Nathan Whiteside for more information, 510-307-6333. That's 510-307-6333. Well, Nathan, I want to go back to these karmic mm-hmm. knots. Okay, I think it's fascinating that they reside in the back. But first of all, before we get into that, what causes them?
History, past life conditioning. You incarnate and there's just a movement towards illusion. And it's just divine play. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not a problem. It's just, the dance of manifestation. And, over time you have the same sort of experience. In the beginning, the first knot you develop is around the issue of physical survival. And it's very natural, as if you incarnate as an animal or, back in the day in caveman times, you're incarnating and you're trying to keep your body and you can't. Eventually it goes away. And it takes a few lifetimes, it takes two or three lifetimes, but, when that same issue keeps coming up, it densifies and densifies until it comes and it's almost like a hole in consciousness appears in the spine, and that's your first karma knot, and that's what creates the ego. And you just keep living life and you keep having these experiences and you go deeper and deeper into the illusion of separation. The average soul, the average human soul will develop about 600 of these karma knots before he or she then sort of says, well, I've had just about enough of that.
I've been weighted down long enough.
Right. This has only gotten worse. the more I go into this, the less fun it is. And at that point, then the soul, something, at a deep level, it's not a mental decision. It's something on a very deep level decides, okay, now it's time to go back home. Now it's time to release this suffering, this separation. And for most of human history, you could spend an entire lifetime in a monastery meditating and release just one karma knot. And you've developed 600 of these things or 800 or, however many it is for your particular soul. And right now, the consciousness of the planet is accelerated to the point where it's actually much easier. Even without vortex healing, you know, you can release karma knots, relatively easily. Comparatively, it's still a very, can be a very painful process. But it's possible you can release multiple karma knots even without living in a monastery. But that's basically how they're formed. It's just, you know, history reinforcing itself over and over again over many lifetimes, and it just sort of solidifies into this knot that then becomes a sort of a self-sustained generator of the separation and suffering.
Why do you suppose these karmic knots, I see them kind of like pearls on a string.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Why are they residing in our backs?
Well, that's where the personality, that's sort of the seat of the soul. That's where the incarnational personality pops into this incarnation. That's, you know, part of our DNA is you know, the emotional body, the mental body, the chakras, the meridians, like all those energetic things are in the DNA, as well as what we call in vortex healing, the karmic body. But you could also call that the seat of the soul. That's where the incarnational package of past life conditioning just sort of plops into a human body. Once the fetus's spine has developed to a certain point, it can then hold a soul, and so then that's where the soul goes, and then that's where all of your, and that's basically what you are, is aside from, you know, the spark of divinity that we all are, as far as our conditioning and our personality, it's just that, it's just conditioning, and that's what plops into the spine.
That is fascinating. Now, talk more about the kundalini, because that sits at the base of the spine, and people think of kundalini as having something to do with the sexual pleasure and performance and that sort of thing, but I know it's much more than that. It certainly is that, but it's much more than that.
Right. The kundalini is an interesting phenomenon. From my training in vortex healing, that's the vast majority of my understanding of kundalini. I'll admit that I've not done kundalini yoga. I'm not up on the more traditional way of viewing the kundalini, but through my training in vortex healing, the way that we see it is as a body-based energy. You need it just for the physical survival of your body. It's an energy that arises naturally from the base of the spine, rises up through the spine, nourishes each of the chakras. It can be used to create very intense feelings of spiritual bliss. If you can, you know, shoot that kundalini up through the crown chakra, it creates a very powerful sense of pleasure. You know, that's all that energy up in your spiritual connection to the divine. But that's not actually awakening. That's not actually evolution. You know, it can become quite addictive. So that's, for me, that's not what I'm looking for. The other aspect of the kundalini channel, which is more what people are going for when they talk about kundalini awakening, and you know, you have that symbol of the caudicus of the, you know, the serpents going back and forth. What that is when the kundalini channel becomes balanced, and you know, the left side and the right side, you know, are in perfect harmony with each other, this dormant aspect of the nadi system, which is your subtle nervous system, it's sort of like the meridians. It's active in your whole body, but there's a dormant aspect of it that sits in the kundalini, that when the kundalini has balanced, it then activates, and that's where that caudicus looking thing happens, this sort of zipping back and forth from side to side. It all activates and lights up, and it's really beautiful and really profound, and then it also opens up a channel of divine consciousness in your kundalini. And then that becomes a way for you to access the divine in a very true and deep way, not just a blissy way, but in a way that actually helps break down the ego and helps you to connect with what you really are.
I think it's interesting too that here at this time and place, we're so intent. At least I've had so many people on the program who've talked about this, so intent on balancing the masculine and the feminine energies within us. And I think that's part of this too,
Absolutely.
The balancing of the kundalini. It's not one over the other, not one better than the other, but the balance,
right.
And that's what creates everything. Also, as you're talking about these karmic knots and them being in the back and the kundalini rising up through the chakra system and that sort of thing, I'm thinking that this society here in the West seems to me to be stuck in the first and second chakras, especially the one of survival.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how we're so afraid of death, we don't even really talk about it. We don't even know what to say to our best friend when a spouse dies or a child dies. In addition to that, of course, you know what's happening in this culture with around all the sexual issues and how up in an uproar people get about that. So it just feels to me like we, as individuals, as Sing Beyond listeners, have not only a responsibility, but a right to be able to move beyond where the masses are.
Right. Wow. That's quite a statement. And I agree. And that's why, I'm so excited about, something like vortex healing, that it basically does what, we're all wanting to have in our lives is this release of karmic knots, permanent release.
We're going to come back and talk more about exactly how this works.
Sure.
But in just the 2 minutes we've got remaining of this mm-hmm. segment, Nathan, mm-hmm. Give us kind of a snapshot view of how this vortex healing energy, this very intense, vibrating white light mm-hmm. energy is able to help us to dissolve these karmic knots, to blow them into smithereens once and for all.
Well, it's actually a much more gentle process than that because, it's coming from divinity. It's not about, attack and destroy. It's about transformation. And so the thing that makes it so difficult to release a karma knot is that we have so many layers of protection around it. The string of pearls I thought was a beautiful analogy because that's basically what it is. You have like this sand, this piece of sand that's this irritant, this, bit of suffering sitting in your system. And so you wrap it up with karmic consciousness to sort of deaden yourself to it, make it so you can't feel it. And that works great in the short term, but in the long term, then it's still sitting there and it's still creating it. You would still attract situations into your life that are going to fulfill the story of that particular karma knot. So it's not a permanent solution. And then it makes it a very difficult problem to get past all of that, protection and sleeping consciousness to get to the real root of the matter. So the divine sparkling light that comes through, dissolves that protective coating. It comes in and sort of warms up the karma knot and fills it with divine light and strips away all of that protection. And then that's when you bring in Mu'uma, the divine consciousness, and it just comes. It's consciousness working with consciousness. You have separation consciousness. The only thing that can change that and transform it is divine consciousness. And you can do that yourself because you are a divine being. But with vortex healing, we can focus divinity in such a way as to just bring it right into that very spot and bring divinity where there was separation.
So the vortex healing helps to dissolve the protective coating around these karmic knots to the point of where the MoMA energy consciousness can mm-hmm. come in and we can get it. Otherwise, mm-hmm. we've got too many filters and we don't hear
right.
it. We don't even if we hear it, we don't get it.
Right. I mean, anybody who has done taken any time to work on themselves, you know how hard it is. You know how deep this thing goes, and whatever the issue is or the pattern is, you're sitting with it, you're looking at it, you're trying to find why am I doing that? Like, where is this coming from? And it takes an awfully long time, because we've spent eons of in
creating
our past
it.
Lives creating ways to not see
right.
it. And so, the fact that you can release even one karma knot in a lifetime is actually quite miraculous given the number of lifetimes you took creating it and protecting it.
Let's come back and talk more about this. Is it pronounced MoMA?
MoMA.
Mm-hmm. MoMA consciousness. These beings who have passed over but are still here, still communicating and still giving us much information. I find all of this absolutely fascinating, and I know that many of you Seeing Beyond listeners do too. As I was saying to Nathan when we were talking on the phone, I said, my listeners eat up spirituality and metaphysics, and the more metaphysical it is, the more they love it. Welcome back. We're talking about something I find absolutely fascinating, and part of the vortex healing that is very important, germane to it, is the MoMA. And explain mm-hmm. again what that is.
When Mahindra left his body and decided, to find a way to continue to help human consciousness evolve, he assembled a group of seven other divine beings, in perfect unity with the divine, and yet with their own individual flavor or manifestation of divinity, and assembled them and brought them together, and they together formed this realm, just created out of nothing, a realm of divine healing and divine consciousness made up of their own consciousness. And then he became that portal or that connection or bridge between that realm and ours. And so when you're channeling, you're bringing in one by one each of the seven aspects of that divine healing realm that comes in and brings basically realization. It brings in the realization of truth into the place where there is suffering and illusion.
And is this just kind of like instantaneously transmitted? I mean, like 1 minute you don't have a certain thought or a way of doing something or a way of being or knowing, and the next minute you do?
Well, at the level of the using the vortex and Muma, it's a to release a karma knot, it's about a 10 to 15 minute process. Now, like I said, you know, it used to take an entire lifetime in a monastery to release one karma knot. Once I became aware of karma knots, I sort of looked back at my life, and I could see that over the course of about 10 years of just intense self-work and meditation, I released about 20 karma knots over the course of 10 years, released the last 35 that I had in just a matter of a few weeks.
How are you different now without these karma knots than you were before?
When I lost my last knot, there was just such a feeling of freedom. There was just this thought kept popping up in my head. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. And I didn't even know what it was, but there was just this sense of, you know, it, this suffering, this whole way of being had shifted and was just gone. And so there's this freedom. I was a very mentally oriented person, probably still am, but there's now a lot more heart in my vibration. There's a lot more heart in the way that I think about things. There's a sense of, just a spontaneous desire for service. Whereas before there was sort of a feeling of guilt or a feeling of wanting to be perceived as a good person, you know, there's the wounded healer syndrome going on, you know, all of that was part of being a healer, and was appropriate at the time. But as I've cleared through the karma knots and through all the other layers of conditioning that, came out from those knots, it's just this very spontaneous thought, oh, this would help me to be more of service to somebody else.
He's very well spoken, don't you think? Nathan, it's been so great meeting you in person here. Thank you for coming, taking the time to bart in, to come into mm-hmm. the radio station this morning so that I could actually meet you. And, of course, we had a delightful conversation on the telephone, too. But I'm strongly suggesting you give Nathan Whiteside a call. He's happy to talk with you about the vortex healing that we've been discussing for this hour. His number in El Cerrito is 510-307-6333. That's 510-307-6333.